Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. That number is 844-322-2742. If you're listening overnight on CSN or SiriusXM, well, you can get your question to us by voicemail at the very same number, and we'll be glad to discuss it as soon as possible here on the live Basic Gospel radio program. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. That's the number, so call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have a great resource that we're making available to our listeners this month. It's an 8-message CD covering Romans chapters 1 through 4. We've entitled it Revealed, and we've used that word because something has been revealed to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And what has been revealed is the righteousness of God. Now, that was something that was hidden from us. We were trying to earn our own righteousness. We were trying to live in our self-righteousness. We were trying to figure out how we could make ourselves right in the sight of God. And we just did not have the ability to do that. So something was revealed to us in the gospel, a righteousness that was apart from the law, apart from our human effort. It was the righteousness of God that is given to us as a gift of grace. Now, Paul talks about that in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3. And chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians is one of those monster chapters. It has a message in there, and really, when you couple it with chapters 4 and 5, you really have a dense theological statement about this good news of Jesus Christ, this new covenant that we live under today. Yeah. So Paul says that God had made him competent as a minister of the new covenant, and he was talking about his apostleship and defending his apostleship. It seemed like there were a lot of, quote, super apostles that had made their way into the city of Corinth, and they were polished, and they were charismatic, and they, you know, had PowerPoint slides. They didn't really. PowerPoint wasn't a thing back then, but they had this polish and this sophistication about them. And Paul had just entered into the city and humbly told them the good news of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a lot of polish. There wasn't a lot of panache. There wasn't a lot of charisma in it. He just laid out the story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, these other super apostles came in, swept in after, and they started turning the ears of those who had received the good news toward themselves, toward these new fancy polished messages. And Paul was saying, listen, you folks, you weren't much of anything when I came in and you received the good news of Jesus Christ. And now you're wanting to go back. Now you're letting these people cause all kinds of divisions among you. And so in that defense, he lays down some theological tracts that are just unbelievable. And here's what he says. Now, if the ministry, this is verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Now, there's a ministry of death. That ministry of death is the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the covenant between God and the people of Israel, the covenant in which the Ten Commandments were the centerpiece. So those tablets of stone, and on those tablets of stone were Ten Commandments carved by the very finger of God. And what does Paul say about that? What does the Holy Spirit say about that? This Holy Spirit moving Paul to pen these words, that was a ministry of death. And that ministry came with glory, but that ministry was time stamped. It was going to be brought to an end. Then in contrast, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? So you have these two contrasting ministries, the law and the Spirit. Yeah. The law brought death. Death was the end result. The Spirit brings life. So that's the ministry that Paul had been made competent to deliver, this ministry of life that was through the Spirit of God. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, so that old covenant, those Ten Commandments, were a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation. And I think we all understand that. We've all tried to live up to the Ten Commandments. And we found that every time we tried to do that, the Ten Commandments spoke a word of condemnation and judgment back at us. Why? Right. Because we couldn't live up to those righteous requirements. We couldn't make it past commandment number one. If we felt like we were doing pretty good on commandments 2 through 9, then we were really hit with commandment 10 about coveting.
Yeah.
So we're just failures when it comes to trying to live up to the righteous requirements of the law. So it became a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation into our lives. So if there was glory in that ministry, and certainly there was, why? Because it came from God. It was a ministry that came from God, and he wanted us to know our condition apart from Jesus Christ, so that when Christ came on the scene, historically 2,000 years ago, when he came on the scene in our lives through somebody telling us his story, that we would be prepared to receive him and to receive the righteousness that he was making available to us by grace through faith. So there was the ministry of condemnation that had glory. Well, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. So this ministry of life, this ministry of righteousness that is by the Spirit, the glory of it far exceeds the glory of the old covenant. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was brought to an end came with glory. Now, did you hear that? Did you catch those words? For what was brought to an end,
yeah,
that old covenant was brought to an end through the death of Jesus Christ. If the old covenant was a ministry of death and condemnation, Jesus Christ stepped into our shoes. He died in our place. He took the condemnation that we justly deserved upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. How? As a free gift by the Spirit through grace. That's how it happened. So that was brought to an end. How much more glory will what is permanent have? And that's this ministry of righteousness. So what has happened to you as a believer? You were given the gift of righteousness. And here Paul says that's eternal. So it's not time stamped. There's no way that you can walk away from this righteousness. You have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His righteousness is eternal. His righteousness has now become your righteousness. His faithfulness to carry out what needed to be done on our behalf has eternal
ramifications.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we have been made righteous eternally. Mm-hmm. It's permanent. And therefore, when Christ is revealed in glory, guess who else is going to be revealed in glory?
Yeah.
We are. Why? Because we bear the righteousness of God in us.
In us, absolutely.
Great thoughts, Bob. Thanks for opening the broadcast today with those that wonderful message. And friends, we're glad that you're here with us. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call right now, 844-322-2742. And Bob, you're talking about our wonderful resource called Revealed. You know, what we've learned over many years of teaching and counseling is that many people believe that right standing before God is something you must earn. And, of course, Bob was elaborating on that. They fail to see that righteousness is God's gift, and it's His alone to give. The Basic Gospel series called Revealed is a true eye-opener to help everyone see and receive God's gift of righteousness. We want you to have a copy. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for Basic Gospel in the month of July. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift right now and receive your copy of Revealed. You can start now to stand confidently in the truth that through faith in Jesus Christ, you are right with God. Revealed. Make your gift today, right now, or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, that number, 844-322-2742. Got to go to a call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm Jimmy from Danville, California. I was just wondering, how come the Jews wouldn't speak God's name in the Old Testament? So if they didn't do that out of reverence, can we speak God's name? Thank you. Bye.
Well, Jimmy, wonderful question. Yes, they felt like that passage in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses asked God this question, who am I to say sent me? And God answered that question, and he said to Moses, tell them that I am who I am has sent you to them. And so that name, I am, became a holy, sacred name. We call it the Tetragrammaton. It's four letters. It was unspoken by Hebrews. And even today, when they pen, when they write the word God and use it in English, it's G-D.
Yeah, right.
And they are showing the holiness, the holy nature of God Himself. And yes, I think in the world today, we've lost a sense of His holiness. We've lost a sense of His sacredness. We certainly take His name for granted, but they did not. That I am was something special to them. He's not going to be anything less than who He is, so He can be counted on in all things. But that wasn't what they decided to do in not speaking that name was their decision. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that we aren't to speak the name of God. God spoke and He brought the world into existence. He tells us to speak the good news about His Son Jesus. He tells us to call upon the name of the Lord. He tells us to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. So there's nothing in the Bible that will prohibit us or prevents us from speaking the name of God out loud. But I think when we do, we need to recognize the sacredness and holiness of His name. He's not our good buddy. He's not the guy upstairs. He's not any of those things. He is the Lord God, and we should speak His name with a sense of reverence. Yeah. Certainly, there is an irreverence toward God that is out there in the world today. Even the spirit of Antichrist is out there in the world today. But we as believers, we know the goodness of God. We know His loving kindness. We know His grace. We know His mercy. We have humbly bowed our knee and recognize the awesomeness of who He is. And let's continue to live our lives in that reverence and that awe of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob, for that. And Jimmy, thank you for reaching out, and we hope that's a help to you. 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right now. If you have about 13 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and the lines are yours at 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Bob, another question that came in over the weekend. Let's listen to it.
Hi, my name is John from Danville, California. I had a quick question. So based on the promises of the Old Testament, the restoration of Israel, are Gentiles included in that promise? For Ephesians 2:14-18 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two." My question is, does Ephesians 2:14-18 only refer to the means of salvation, or does it include the promises given to the nation Israel in Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, and the Old Testament? Thank you. Bye.
Well, really good question, John, and I think it really gets back to the very nature of the Word of God. And I think the Word of God gives us a singular story about the person of Jesus Christ and how his work through his death, burial, and resurrection was going to bring blessing to all people, both Jew and Gentile. And I think this was God's story from the very beginning. So God didn't create a Jewish story and then realize, oh my goodness, they're not going to be complicit with the script. They're going to rebel. They're going to go rogue and do their own thing. So I need to come up with a plan B. And that plan B is I'm going to go out to the Gentile world. If only the Jews had responded, then it would have been a different story. Well, no, that's not the case at all. God always had in mind both Jew and Gentile. We see that in the blessing to Abraham, that he was going to bless the world through his seed, the world, not just Israel, but the world was going to be blessed, that it was going to be a blessing to many nations. So we see that. We see God's purpose starting to be unfolded right there in the Abrahamic covenant, in that blessing that God gave to Abraham. And Paul picked up on that in his letter to the Galatians. He said in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." So those of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, are the sons of Abraham. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.'" So Ephesians chapter 2, where we see that God has created out of the two one new man, is the fulfillment of this promise that God made many, many years ago to Abraham, that was carried out through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, through David, through Jesus. He's the seed through whom the world is being blessed today. So anyone who comes to Christ by faith, whether Jew or Gentile, is added to the body of Christ, and we stand together as one new man. So individually, we're a new creation. Corporately, we're a new creation as well, this body of Christ. So we see hints of this throughout the Old Testament. We see it in Hosea. We see Jesus talking about it when he is talking about the fact that he's the good shepherd, that there's another flock, and that at some point these two different flocks are going to become one under one shepherd. So the story is very consistent. Ephesians chapter 2 is the culmination, is the pinnacle. So we are living out today as Jew and Gentile, fellow members of the body of Christ, the great promise that God gave to Abraham many, many years ago.
It's a wonderful truth, Bob, and you explained it very beautifully. And John, I hope that's a help to you as well.
Once again, we have some time on the clock, 844-322-2742, an open line for you right now if you'd like to come in and speak directly with us. If you're hearing the live program at 19 after 3 p.m. Central Time, again, 844-322-2742. And you know, we're coming up on a wonderful milestone anniversary here at Basic Gospel. August 1st is the day that we'll celebrate 5 years of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Now, through these 5 years, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace has reached into the hearts and lives of many people to bring a message of clarity, the understanding that working to gain God's acceptance is a self-defeating endeavor. But by resting in His finished work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, you can enter confidently into the simple gospel, which is simply grace. Order your copy today, friends, if you don't have one, at basicgospel.net, and help us celebrate 5 years of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Click Simple Gospel, the Simple Gospel link at basicgospel.net. There's a special link right there on the homepage. Just click that, and we would love to see you get a copy of the book and the study guide. Bob?
Well, thank you. And we're talking about righteousness all this month.
Yes.
And the fact that righteousness was revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the power unto salvation. And one of the things that we've learned through the years is that many people question whether their sins have been forgiven or not. And they squirm around feeling guilty and fearful and shameful and all these various things. And this gift of righteousness really answers that question. God would not declare you to be righteous if He had not first cleansed you and forgave you of all your sins. So how do you know your sins are forgiven? Well, you know that they're forgiven because you have been given the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So this is a very practical truth for us, and it really lifts off that fear and guilt and shame off our shoulders. And so this is one of the things that I cover in the book, and one of the things that as people have responded to the book have said have been very helpful, have really brought some clarity, some peace, some comfort, and has lifted that guilt and shame from their shoulders. So don't miss this book. It's been out there for 5 years. Let's celebrate this 5-year anniversary. I'd love to see it move up the charts, and that a book on the grace of God was really making an impact in our culture today. So buy multiple copies and pass them out to friends. You won't be disappointed in doing that. I think it'll bring a great joy to your heart, and who knows how God will use that gift in somebody else's life, but I guarantee you it'll be in a very positive way.
Absolutely. Well, you can find it on Amazon.com, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, or you can go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find the prominent link right there on the homepage. Well, Bob, a question we've been trying to get to for, it seems like, weeks and haven't yet, but this is from Paul. He says, I've found 4 occurrences of water and the Holy Spirit being connected. Jesus' baptism, Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus, Peter's first sermon, and then Paul in Acts. Are there any other places where water and the Holy Spirit are connected?
Well, the only other one that I can think of is in 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, he's talking about a testimony and the fact that we have this testimony that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And right before he talks about that, he says, this is he who came by water and blood, not by the water only, but by water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. So I think, I'm not sure if you're asking this, if you need to be baptized in water in order to get the Holy Spirit. If that's what you're asking, then the answer to that is a resounding no. We see when Peter addressed the Gentiles, the Spirit of God fell upon them. Mm-hmm. So they received the Spirit of God first. And that's what happens with us as well. We receive the Spirit of God first. But all of these are instances of testimony to Jesus Christ, lifting Him up and saying, in Him is life and life everlasting.
Absolutely. Paul, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we deeply appreciate your prayers and your gifts to help us keep going by day by day. Make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks, as I said before, we're going to send you a copy of our latest series called Revealed, showing clearly that Jesus Christ, in Him, you are right with God. You can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of this Message series called Revealed. Again, make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, wow, time flies when you're having fun, and we had fun today, Bob, and thank you for listeners, and we hope that you'll be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.